BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening.
Hello and welcome everyone to another BDNG in conversation with. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Lead Education and Development Lead for the BDNG. So today the BDNG is in conversation with Professor Anthony Bewley and we're here today to speak about the exciting psychosocial awareness that all nurses should really be part of and also psychodermatology. So welcome Professor Bewley to this BDNG podcast. I'm sure you don't need any introductions. However, before we take a deep dive into psychodermatology, would you mind just introducing yourself and also just how you got initially involved with psychodermatology?
Thanks very much, Tina. Yes, my name's Tony Bewley. I'm a consultant dermatologist at Barts Health in London and also honorary professor at Queen Mary University of London. And I've had really quite a long interest in psychodermatology. I kind of fell into it a bit, really. My original research was around skin allergy and two things happened. I did some training in cognitive behavioral therapy. And at the same time, I had a new colleague join the team who happened to be a psychiatrist and she had a session available to be able to supervise psychodermatology in our department. And a few things came together and all of a sudden the psychodermatology clinic was born. And at the same time, there has been a growing interest in psychodermatology and a growing momentum, certainly in the UK, across Europe. And it's emerging globally now, the interest in psychodermatology. And along with that, because psychodermatology is such a multidisciplinary speciality, colleagues from the nursing profession have really embraced this, and that is just brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And I think, you know, as the years are passing, we're definitely having more and more awareness of psychodermatology. I mean, there's lots of evidence out there as well. And like our listeners, I'm sure have read, but unfortunately, there isn't enough services, is there, for psychodermatology? There's only limited in the UK. How many is there in the UK altogether, Tony?
Yeah, we think there's about somewhere around 11 dedicated psychodermatology clinics across the UK, but there are huge regions across the UK that don't have a psychodermatology department at the moment. What do I mean by a psychodermatology department? I mean a multidisciplinary team with a dermatologist, dermatology nurses, and some kind of either supervision or clinics running where a psychiatrist sits with the dermatologist or sits adjacent or nearby to the dermatologist, and or a psychologist does the same, sits nearby. Now, the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Skin Report back in 2020 made recommendations that there should be at least a regional psychodermatology clinic across the UK. It is improving, but it's got a long way to go. And then myself and a group of Europeans wrote a white paper, which was just published recently in the JADV, also saying that there needs to be psychodermatology clinics across Europe, at least regionally. And there are several countries in Europe where there is no psychodermatology provision at all. And so there really is quite a long way to go. But actually, I think that the UK and Europe are probably doing fairly well because of the socialized medicine model. So in fact, the UK and Europe are doing better than lots of other places around the globe. But there is still quite a bit of work to do.
I agree. And I think, you know, the UK are definitely, you know, there's lots of input now and, you know, we're definitely developing awareness of psychodermatology, which I think is the main, you know, aspect of this, the beginning of it, isn't it, really? And I know going backtracking there to the All Parliamentary Mental Health and Skin Disease Report in 2020, I mean, the figures that were coming out there, you know, were quite high figures, you know, 93% with low self-esteem, 98%, you know, had emotional and psychological well-being issues, and 5% even had suicide ideas, you know, that were thinking about suicide as well. And I think that was, that's amazing work that was highlighted in 2020. And on the back of that, I think more and more nurses are aware of that report and really have a lot more interest in how they can help. Because as you say, there's restricted services, but as nurses, how do we get more awareness about the aspects of psychodermatology? How can we help our patients?
Well, you know, the other part of the report was that about 82% of patients are not signposted towards psychological support, and that can be IAPT, improving access to psychological therapies, which, depending on where you live, you can either self-refer or you can get your GP to refer you to the IAPT services, or we in primary or secondary or tertiary care can also make those referrals. So it's iapt.com that patients can look up. We as dermatology healthcare professionals, very much including dermatology nurses, haven't yet. And I would say that I think nurses are better than doctors at doing this and better than other healthcare professionals, but we haven't yet embraced this signposting enough. And there are lots of things that can be done. We can signpost patients towards mindfulness websites. We can signpost patients towards books. Certainly we can embrace patients and talk to them, and we can signpost them towards patient advocacy groups. But where necessary, we can refer, and I certainly take referrals from nursing colleagues, to dedicated psychodermatology units if that becomes necessary. Or, and I don't know whether this is the case in the various regions around the UK, nurses may be able to refer to mental health services with a patient if necessary. You mentioned as well, Tina, about suicide, and sadly we know that about 5% of patients with skin disease do consider suicide. And I think nurses are brilliant at this. They're brilliant at saying, well, you know, have you ever felt so rubbish that you'd consider ending your life? And I think they're better than doctors at asking that question and then being able to make a basic assessment of risk about suicidal ideation, knowing that if the risk is imminent, and that's unbelievably rarely, but if the risk is imminent, then nursing colleagues know that actually there is a crisis team, a psychiatric crisis team in all A&E departments, and patients can be referred to that crisis team. But also we do know that if you raise the subject of suicide or contemplating ending your life, that actually massively reduces the risk that a patient will act on that suicidal ideation, because they get a sense of relief and they feel that somebody is actually finally hearing the extent to which they are struggling.
I think it's really important what you've said there, and you know, the amount of nurses that actually ask when you're at these conferences, when you're at education events, you know, about the suicide question, how do I ask it? You know, because quite often patients will speak about it, but you know, they may not have a plan in situ. But it's really important to, you know, establish what is happening with that patient. Have they got plans for, you know, suicide? Have they thought about it more seriously, or are they going home that night to watch Coronation Street, basically? So I think it's really important as nurses that we know that these crisis teams are out there to support, because it is more and more difficult, I think, for nurses. We know we have an interest, we have you know, some of the skills that we can implement to our patients to help them, but it's where to refer them, because we know everyone's really pushed. And I think you mentioned, you know, very backtracking there again, the iapt.com, and I think it's really important for nurses as well to refer patients, to know they can refer patients onto some services as well. And I think we're you know, a lot of nurses now really want to have an interest. I think, you know, a lot of nurses are asking how can I help my patients, and not just a case of maybe signposting them onto mindfulness or books. I mean, how is there any education out there that nurses could reach out to or have benefit from, you know, developing new skills?
Yeah, well, I think to start off with, I'd say that nurses are brilliantly placed and usually brilliant at doing basic cognitive behavioural therapy or relaxation techniques or other affirmative cognitive behavioural therapy. So we know from, I just want to draw listeners' attention to a study that was done a few years ago now with patients who have psoriasis and were treated with phototherapy with narrowband UVB. And in one arm, they treated patients with psoriasis with ordinary narrowband UVB or PUVA. And in the other arm, they treated patients similarly with narrowband UVB or with PUVA. And they played relaxation tapes or did some kind of basic mindfulness at the same time as their phototherapy. And what was discovered was that the patients who had the phototherapy and the relaxation techniques or the mindfulness techniques, that they required less phototherapy to clear or to improve. They cleared much more quickly and they had a smaller chance of recurrence. So this was a very, very straightforward technique using mindfulness or relaxation techniques whilst the patient was in a captive situation, in other words, in a phototherapy machine. And yet it proved to be hugely beneficial for the patient, both mentally and physically. And that's the point, really. And I think nurses are brilliantly placed. Now, I know that you and other colleagues in nursing, for example, Steve Ursa from down on the South Coast, has made it very clear that every opportunity, every interaction between a healthcare professional, a nurse, and a patient is an opportunity for basic affirmative cognitive behavioral therapy. How are you? How's it going at the moment? And that can be just hugely beneficial to the patient so that they can explain about what is going on in their life. You know, how are things going in your life at the moment? So I'm very keen for nurses to embrace an extended role in dermatology around basic cognitive behavioral therapy and affirmative interactions with patients. And if necessary, mindfulness and relaxation techniques and so on. Now, where can the training be? It's an important thing. So there has been masterclasses via our colleagues, Barbara Page and others, Polly Buchanan. And I know that you, Tina, are beginning to embrace the kind of evolution of the masterclass for nurses in psychodermatology. Amongst other training events, there is the annual Psychodermatology UK training event, which is in January. If you look at psychodermatology.co.uk, you can see any of the future training events which are happening, but it is usually the fourth Thursday in January, and it's usually online and it lasts all day. And we certainly have a large cohort of nurses join that. And then there is the annual Psychodermatology UK training weekend. And colleagues can certainly email me about that if they wanted to come along to do a formal weekend of training. And myself and others, including yourself, Tina, are hoping to set up training schools in the UK for nurses. So I have got funding to set up, for example, a training school in habit reversal. But there are also plans to develop other training schools for nurses in psychodermatology. Now, in my view, they're better run by and delivered by nurses. But, you know, I'm more than happy to also lend a hand with that as well.
That's fantastic. And lots of really fantastic information there. Amazing, the study. You know, it's quite a simple technique, isn't it? The music. And you know, you can actually think how that works. It's actually fascinating, really fantastic. And picking up a couple of points there that you mentioned, I think more and more nurses do want to learn. Definitely. I mean, I've attended many conferences, and I think more and more nurses really want the information. You mentioned the masterclass that was really successfully run in Scotland by Polly and Barbara, and we've been very fortunate enough to, they've shared that with the BDNG, and at the moment I am developing that course and adding to it. So watch this space if any of our listeners want to be involved, or if any of our listeners want to join that course, I will be promoting that very soon. And also the fact is that there is other opportunities out there with Psychoderm UK. It's definitely worth having a look at the website there and opportunities to join these courses. Great about what you mentioned there about habit reversal, some training, and I think as well you've hit the nail on the head with mentioning about psychologists who do a fantastic job, but again, not every hospital has got psychologists, and I think nurses are in a really good position to definitely be able to promote these well-being skills, or you know, learn how to learn about habit reversal or other skills that are out there. So going forward, I think there's lots and lots of opportunities for our listeners to be involved with. Tony, within your hospital, can we go back to your clinical hospital? I mean, you have the, you know, a really fantastic service. Relating to nurses, do you find the nurses that have a massive interest in Psychoderm? Do they want, I mean, obviously they're very lucky they've got you, but do they have a really keen interest?
Yeah, absolutely. So our nurses are really keen on the whole psychodermatology aspect of dermatology, remembering that psychodermatology is two sides of the same coin. It is either primary psychiatric disease presenting to us as dermatology healthcare professionals. So that's things like delusional infestation, where patients believe they have an infestation in their skin and they do not. Or body dysmorphic disorder, where a seemingly fairly trivial change in the skin becomes of immense focus for the patient. For example, fairly minor acne scarring becomes the sole focus of the patient's kind of consciousness. Or patients who have dermatitis artifacta, patients who harm themselves in some way, to adopt a sick role but don't disclose that to the healthcare professional. So they're all common primary psychiatric diseases which come to us as dermatology healthcare professionals. And in my clinic, I see about 80% of my referrals are primary psychiatric disease. Now, for nurses, nursing colleagues have either got used to having those patients around and can be extremely helpful, especially in patients, for example, who have dermatitis artifacta, because with dermatitis artifacta, where a patient has created some change on their skin, which can be, you know, cuts and scratches and erosions, or can be huge ulcers that they have created themselves. Usually it matters much more about why they are doing that rather than how they are doing that. And I think nurses are usually brilliant at facilitating that conversation, because in my experience, it usually takes time, and it's often sooner rather than later that the patient will disclose the pain, the psychological pain that they are experiencing. So, for nursing colleagues, clinically, to get involved in that is important, but also certainly some of my nursing colleagues have got involved around the research around that. How do we best manage patients with primary psychiatric disease who are presenting to us as dermatology healthcare professionals? What are the range of different treatments, which can be talk treatments, or it can be medication treatments, or some combination of those two? So certainly nursing colleagues have been interested to get involved in research around that. And then going back to the whole idea of two sides of the same coin, the other side of the coin is primary dermatological disease, in which there is large psychosocial comorbidities. So that's things like psoriasis, atopic eczema, vitiligo, all those kind of things, in which there is large psychosocial comorbidity. In other words, patients have issues around self-esteem, body image, anxiety, and or depression, remembering that it's much more common to have anxiety and depression rather than anxiety or depression. Again, nurses, nursing colleagues do get involved in that whole process, both either clinically or via research. So, for example, nurses have helped develop patient information leaflets for patients who are, let's say, have vitiligo or acne, to try and support patients with what's going on for them in terms of their psychosocial comorbidities, what's going on for them in terms of their self-esteem and so on. So there is a lot that nurses are keen to get involved in. What's very interesting as well is that, and we don't have RMN, we don't have psychiatric nurses joining us in the clinic, which is interesting. Perhaps we should. But whenever we have psychiatry trainees or psychiatrists who want to learn a little bit more about psychodermatology coming to the clinic, they foolishly make the assumption that it'll be, it's just going to dermatology. We'll just sit there and say, oh, they're there, and maybe give them tea and sympathy. And what they don't realize, they come away thinking, oh my God, who knew that there was all this pathology in dermatology? They underestimated or underweighted the strength of feeling that patients have when they have skin disease, and go away thinking, well, this isn't just about the skin. It is much more than that. And there is, a lot that A, can be done, and B, there is a lot that the patients are experiencing.
I think, really great words there that you've expressed to our listeners. And I think there is definitely different layers of psychosocial sort of interventions that we need to do. And I think as well, I'm, as you know, a big believer in making every contact count. I think going back to the basics, even, to listen to a patient. I know we're really challenged with the timings we've got with patients, but to even listen to the patient, just express how they're feeling. And I think the amount of times I've heard, you're treating me as a person, not a piece of skin, which is really important words I find to get across to people that are, like you say, are listening into yourself, isn't it? Because it's really important to understand the amount of psychosocial issues that patients can have with skin, the low self-esteem, and then building right up to the psychodermatology issues that they have as well. It's a fascinating topic, isn't it? And I think more and more nurses so want to be involved in it. We could really speak about this all day, but I'm going to get a couple more pointers from you. I'm sure we can speak more about it in further podcasts, but a couple of pointers that you've mentioned there. Basic training days on things like habit reversal. How would nurses, or what is the timeline for nurses to be able to join these classes? Lots of our listeners would want to.
Sure. So habit reversal is a behavioral technique where patients learn to replace the habit of scratching at their skin with a habit that isn't so destructive to their skin. So it's usually patients with atopic dermatitis, or patients with some degree of lichen simplex, some specific part of their body that they scratch or pick at, which is a persistent habit, often the back of the neck, can be the genital skin, can be any part of the body really. So it's either atopics or it's the lichen simplex chronicus patients. And with the habit reversal technique, it involves usually four sessions, often run by a nurse, and there are nurses trained in habit reversal around the UK. And the first appointment is to identify the habit of scratching at the skin. And then over the subsequent appointments, it's about deconstructing that habit and replacing it with a less destructive habit. So the training usually involves some degree of understanding what habit reversal is about, and then sitting in a clinic with a nurse who runs, or a psychologist who runs, a habit reversal service, and then proceeding with that. Now, along with that, usually it's better that there is some kind of supervision. So the supervision for a trained nurse can be with other trained nurses, or can be with a psychologist, because sometimes patients can struggle, and it is important for nursing colleagues to feel that they can go to another colleague with a question about the management of that person. So so the habit reversal training is about to be established. I have trained nursing colleagues in the past. I say I've trained them. I've signposted them to other nurses who have trained nurses in the past in habit reversal. And that can be done again if people want to email me or yourself, Tina. Before too long, I am, and I have got funding for this, going to be establishing a habit reversal kind of training program for nursing colleagues. You can look online at atopicskindisease.com, and there is a chapter on the website atopicskindisease.com which deals with habit reversal, and there is a self-actuated program that patients can follow. Now the problem with that is that patients, particularly when it comes to psychological interventions, prefer human-to-human interaction. It's very different. There is a growing kind of interest in artificial intelligence, but patients have made it very clear that saying to some kind of robotic face, "I feel terrible," and then the robot says something like, there, that somehow doesn't really meet the needs of the patient. So certainly in our experience, having human to human contact makes a big difference.
Going back to the AI, that is fascinating, but also human to human is definitely the way to go, isn't it? I mean, I can't imagine speaking openly to a robot or some kind of AI device, definitely. Before we wrap up this amazing podcast, as I say, we could definitely speak to you all day. Just some key points. I know you've mentioned to nurses, obviously, that we have got some training available. I would just like to sort of go over that again. So obviously in the future, we've got some training specifically for things like habit reversal, which we will be promoting through the BDNG as well once Tony has all that set up. We have in production a masterclass that the BDNG are producing on the back of the work that has been done in Scotland, and I will also be sharing that with Tony as well. We have in January, now you mentioned about in January, nurses can sign up for an online day. And how do nurses apply for that, Tony? How do they get involved with that one?
So that's via Psychodermatology UK, which is psychodermatology.co.uk. And then all of any training events that are happening in psychodermatology are cited there. And then you can just click on the application page and fill it out, and then you're in.
That's fantastic. And as I say, we try to promote all these things through our BDNG website as well and on our up-to-date emails. Is there any other training that I've missed out there, Tony? Any other aspects of training that nurses could look for?
Well, there is emerging training in Europe, but it's not available yet. And it's interesting. I mean, I'd be very interested in your view about this, actually, Tina. I think the UK probably does lead in terms of nursing extended roles compared to other European nations. It is very interesting, but there will be emerging training in Europe should colleagues be listening from non-UK places.
Absolutely. I think the UK are leading the way. I mean, I've worked with a lot of European nurses and other nurses abroad, and I think we have got more specialised roles. We are developing advanced practitioners. We have got the four pillars of practice. So it's really important to evolve and, you know, have these extra skills attached to what we are doing for nurses to be able to promote themselves. Or if nurses are actually happy where they are, I think the patient is always at the centre. So I think to have these skills is phenomenal, because it is sometimes stripping it right back to what you can provide for patients and making sure that every contact counts, and also listen to your patients and be able to refer on to services. And we mentioned that IAPT.com, and also look what's out there, mindfulness, NHS choices. There's lots of good stuff out there that you can help patients with. So I'd like to say, Tony, a massive thank you for your words of wisdom, and also the nice words you've said about nurses being involved in psychosocial aspects and the interest they have in psychderm. And research is so important because it's part of the four pillars, so we need to get nurses more involved in research. So there's your opening. So thanks once again, Tony, and a massive words of insight into psychodermatology UK, and also into psychosocial awareness that nurses can be providing. So thank you.
Pleasure, Tina. Thanks for having me.